Amen. Good to see all of you here tonight. I trust that you've had a good first part of your week with the Lord. It's good to be here in the house of God. We had a wonderful time over in the youth zone. Played a pretty good game. It's in this here little thing here. Brother Jim, you got a good strong stomach? Where'd he go? Come on. Get spirit on me. You got a good strong stomach, brother?
Yes, sir.
These jelly beans. There is all kinds in here. For example, let me see. You can get some spoiled milk, some rotten eggs, some buttered popcorn, some caramel corn. You can get a Tutti Frutti. You can get a booger. You can get chocolate pudding or canned dog food. And I'm telling you, I did not get one of them nice flavors. But it's kind of a good object lesson, Brother Ray. Sometimes you play with sin, don't know what you're going to get. It's pleasurable for a season. Sometimes it will right out bite you. One of you adults want to come try? Adults. Brother Chris, you want to come? I put him two up here, so I don't know what they are. But you can taste. You want to get them both? Okay. You're strong. What was that one?
Grass.
Yeah, that's a lot of lawn chopping. That was a lot of grass. You got a good one to wash it down with. Tutti Frutti. I got canned dog food, I'll tell you. I feel sorry for animals. I'm getting on board with PETA. I'm telling you that. That stuff still is stuck in the back of my throat there, and I can't get it gone. Last week, Brother Bernie had brought up a motion to the church to take care of the plane fares, my wife and I, and he got the motions to do it and the second, but he didn't get the vote. So we need to finish that out. I know it's a day late and dollar short, but better now than never doing it. Y'all remember who seconded? Well, Jim, you made the motion. How about this, brother? Who would like to make the motion tonight? Brother Bill Spencer and Brother Felipe second. All in favor? Any opposed? Or that's concerning the airfare to Miss Rena. If you let Brother Bernie know, we handled it. I meant to do it Sunday night. It just slipped my mind there. We're looking at Andrew. Today, we're going to continue our studies in the apostles, in the books, in the book of the Bible, in the Bible, the 12 apostles. And Andrew is the first one. We'll be in John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Now, when you think of someone and their life, we know a lot about many of the apostles. Very little about Andrew. Andrew didn't have a big, preaching time in the Bible. Didn't have a big, doesn't record any miracles or nothing that Andrew did throughout there. But when I think about Andrew, my first thing come to my mind is a faithful witness. A faithful witness. Now, Andrew didn't share Jesus with others out of duty. Sometimes that's what we do. Well, I'm a Christian, so I better share Jesus. You know, we should, yes, but not out of duty. He naturally led people in finding what they were seeking, as we'll look tonight. I mean, he naturally did that. Now, what should motivate us to be a witness? First and foremost, it should be the fact that we share the gospel with those who've never heard. Because if they don't hear, they're not going to get saved. They're going to go to hell. They're going to spend eternity in hell. That is a fact. That should motivate us. I don't know about you, but I thank God that I am going to spend eternity in heaven, walk on a street of gold, spend eternity with my Savior. The biggest thing that brought fear into my heart was the eternal separation from God whenever I was embraced by the gospel. That if I didn't accept Christ, I would eternally be separated from God. Now, hell's bad. I'm going to tell you, hell is bad. It's a horrible place, torment. But the fact that there's going to be a time in your life that the Holy Spirit of God never convict. You'll never be able to enjoy the creation of God because hell's a place of total darkness. Weeping, gnashing of teeth. That struck fear in my heart. The fact that I would never, ever, ever hear the sweet voice of God say, come home. I gave my son for you. And I got saved. So it should motivate us first and foremost because people need to get saved. Secondly, what should motivate us to be more like Andrew, to be a witness, should be just to simply fulfill what Christ commanded. It was his commission. Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature, and that should be our commandment. It should be a motivation to please him that has called us unto righteousness to be obedient. Third thing that should motivate us, dear friend, is I believe that it brings all kind of glory to God. You know how many friends know about who you are and how you were and the life you lived, and then when you trusted Christ, they noticed the change in you. And then when you turn around and present Christ and they hear about that, it brings all kind of glory to God because they know you. God knows us too, don't he? I mean, we can put up a big front and make things look pretty nice around folks, but boy, that which I would do, I don't do. Romans 7. So it should motivate us to bring glory to God. Because salvation is not about me, it's not about you, it's not about our church, it's about Jesus and the God of heaven who gave himself for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen, witnessing requires intentional communication. It requires intention. I mean, you got to be intentional in it. And the good thing about witnessing is, dear friend, we don't have to worry about the way they receive it or respond to it. That's all up to God. We're just to do it. We water, we plant, God brings the increase. But take some intentional. Listen, a spirit-controlled life will transform the heart. And people will notice the difference. They will notice that you're a new creature in Christ. They should. Old things pass away and all things become new. But dear friend, if you're just relying upon your behavior, how you act and how you carry yourself for somebody to know that Jesus loves them, they might just pass right over. They might just say, well, that's a pretty good person. That pretty moral guy. That lady there, she's real, real moral. I mean, and pass right on by. I never see Jesus in us. Never. So it takes some intentional requirement. Now, listen, be prepared to talk to someone if they express interest in your faith. That's what we're supposed to do. They express interest in faith and they're looking and seeking the face of God, and they show an open door Be prepared, because that's how Andrew was. As we look at his life tonight, we're going to go through and we're going to see different instances. He was prepared at every instance to make sure he pointed people to Jesus. Listen, I'm thankful that I'm not responsible for how people respond to the gospel. Because to be honest with you, I am a pretty poor salesman. But I know what happened to me. I know I was on my way to hell, and Jesus moved into my life and changed me and saved me. And that I can't talk about. You know, it's like in court, whenever they call an expert witness and they want to talk to somebody about blood and DNA, they don't go down to the local mechanic shop and get a certified mechanic. Now, if they want to know how fast a car goes and how much engine RPMs is it, they go get them an auto mechanic. Why? Because that auto mechanic knows about that. If you're saved, dear friend, you know about what Jesus done did to your in your life. So therefore, you just talk about what Jesus has done for you, through you, and in you. His witness can naturally it should naturally come out of our own experience with Jesus. Maybe sometimes it simply is that we are not continuing on in that journey day by day. The reason we don't. And Jesus told Andrew, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. So what happened? He was called to be a disciple and he followed. So maybe sometimes it's simply that we've just sit down and squatted. We gotta get going. We gotta follow. And so the natural daily journey with Jesus and the experiences we experience with the Lord Jesus Christ will just naturally begin to come out of us. It's just how it works. So we're gonna get in here and look at Peter's life real quick and go through it pretty quick because we're gonna go through, I'm gonna try to do every disciple on Wednesday. I'm trying not to break it up. So John chapter 1, verse 35, let's read there. Andrew is mentioned 12 times in the Bible. If you study it out, you look at it, he's mentioned 12 times. No great accounts of Andrew preaching great sermons, doing miracles. None of the books in the Bible written by Andrew. But I'm going to show you something that's amazing. John chapter 1:35, the Bible says this. Again, the next day, after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples, and remember what a disciple was. A disciple is a learner. We looked at that 2 weeks ago. A disciple is a learner. An apostle is a sent one. So two of his disciples, whose disciples? John's disciples. So John, first thing we notice about Andrew, he was a learner. He's one that studied. And he sought out. And he wasn't a theologian. He was a fisherman. So don't give us the excuse that, well, I'm not educated, so therefore I cannot study. I'm not educated, so therefore I cannot understand. I cannot. Education is beyond the abilities and engagements of books. You can gain all the knowledge of books and not be able to put it into action. So here we go. It's two of the disciples. He was a learner. He heard him speak and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, said unto them, what seek ye? And say, being interpreted, what seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? And he said unto them, come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother, Simon, saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is to be interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Remember that witness I was telling you about? A faithful witness? It started from the very beginning of his walk with the Lord. So that faithful witness there, he says he went and found his brother. He said, come and see. And he brought him to Jesus.
And when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation, a stone. A stone. Now listen, Andrew's background was from Bethsaida. John chapter 1, verse 44 tells us that. Andrew and Simon Peter grew up around Bethsaida, the northwest shore of the Sea of Galilee, and they both fished for a living. That was their job. They had two counterparts that they worked with. John and James was kind of co-partners and co-counterparts together. Matter of fact, flip over to Luke. Just kind of flip over to Luke chapter 5, verse 10. Luke 5, verse number 10. And so was the, also James and John, sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus saith unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. So they were partners. They worked together and spent time together. News of John the Baptist must have spread throughout Galilee, and Andrew and some unnamed disciple. Whenever I see that, as we read there in John, there was Andrew, which very little said about him, and then there was this unnamed disciple. That says something to me. You don't have to have titles or recognition or name. You just do what's right. Let God worry about all that other stuff. Let God figure out who's going to get rewarded, who's not going to be getting rewarded, who's doing right, who's not doing right. But John and James there, together, they all work together, intermingle together. Andrew was first a disciple of John the Baptist. That tells me something about John the Baptist. He understood that they were the Lord's flock. He was always trying to point people to Christ. Remember it says, Jesus must, he must increase and we must decrease. As we go along in our work, especially Sunday school teachers, we need to be getting people to the point where they can minister. Listen, you've got to wean them. You've got to teach them to walk. You've got to wean them. You've got to get them out there, and you've got to get them busy so they can exercise what they've learned and put it to use. And that's what John said. John said, Behold the Lamb of God. Andrew went, spent a whole day, one day with Jesus. John's, it probably would have startled me if I'd have been Andrew and this other disciple. Behold the Lamb of God. I mean, just like, wow. That kind of would have just woke me up a little bit. Just hearing that. But John identified Jesus as the one that he had been preaching about and foretelling about. And of course, they was there when Jesus got baptized. The Spirit came down and descended upon him like a dove, a voice from heaven. And there you have a picture of the Trinity. This is my well-beloved Son there. And they see all this, and they're grasping it. Listen, Andrew had a desire to learn. What did he say to Jesus? Hey, Rabbi. Which is being interpreted what? Teacher. Master. Teacher. Hey, John was teaching him, Behold the Lamb of God. John was saying, Go, follow him. He's good. And he just had that desire. And as he had that desire, guess what? He discovered the Lord Jesus Christ. And after learning the identity of Jesus, he spent some time with him, as we read there. And finding out that he was the Messiah, he left him after a day and went and found his brother, a faithful witness. And he brought him to Jesus. I don't know about you, dear friend, but sometimes those that are closest to us are the most difficult to witness to, aren't they? But this here passage of Scripture is written so that we can know that it can be done. It can be done. Yes, our brothers and our sisters and our aunts and uncles and our loved ones, they know exactly how wicked we are. But Jesus knew how wicked he was when he saved you. Isn't that amazing? So it tells me that there is the ability to go out and to share even the gospel with those that are closest to us. Not only that, about Andrew, we understand and look as we study his life, is that he was not just caught in one sphere of age bracket, or might say, I don't know what to say. Here's his brother. Then he was in another situation in John chapter 6, verse number 8. They were all trying to feed and worry about these here people that need to be fed. Jesus said to them, listen, they're weary, they're sick, they're hungry, they're starving, that they need some help. And he said to the disciples, listen, feed them. And you know, start Philip talked about it being 200 days worth of wage. Couldn't feed them all, Lord. How can we do it? Guess what Andrew did? Andrew, being in and amongst in the midst of the crowd, had run across a little boy and took time to spend time with him, found out he had a pail of lunch and some bread and some fish. And he said, Lord, I don't know if it's going to help. I can imagine, Andrew. I mean, look, at there's thousands out here. Philip done calculated. He done put the math to the pencil. It's going to take 200 days worth of work, Lord, to feed this many people. Send them away. Jesus said, let them sit. Put them in order. He's a God of order. And he took what this little lad, who brought it to him? Andrew. Isn't that amazing? Not only that, you see, he dealt with his brother. He brought him to the Lord. Here's the little guy. He brought him to the Lord. That's how the faithful witness is. Then there's another group. Go to John chapter 12 real quick. John chapter 12, you find another group. John chapter 12, verse 20. John 12, verse 20, the Bible says, and there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. And the same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh, and guess who he told? And telleth Andrew. And again, Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. Isn't that amazing? So now, he's gone from his brother's family, the close, he got a little bitty kid, and he's spending time with him. Now, wait a minute, you think in the back of their mind, there was that saying that Jesus said, don't go to the Gentiles just yet. It's not time. But Philip and Andrew looked beyond and saw souls and said, let's see what's going to happen. Go with me to Matthew chapter 10 real quick. So you see what I'm saying there. Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and to any city of the Samaritans enter ye not. So now all of a sudden, here's these Greeks, they show up to Philip. Philip's like, man, I don't know what to do. He goes to Andrew. Andrew knows exactly what to do. Hey, just get them to Jesus. So he stepped outside of his, comfort zone. His skin color. So you see, a faithful witness doesn't look at who, what, how old, what they can do, who they are. They're concerned about the soul. And that's what I see about Andrew. Now listen, you study it out. There's not a whole bunch throughout the Scripture said about Andrew. Now, historians have wrote a lot, throughout history. Ebesus recorded that Andrew carried the message of Christ to the barbaric tribes in southern Russia. Spent time in southern Russia and around the Black Sea area. And Fox's Book of Martyr says that he preached the gospel in many of the Aztec nations. And as he preached the gospel and carried the gospel out as his arrival in Edessa, he was taken and crucified on a cross. Remember the prophecy that Jesus himself said, for sitting on the left and on the right. I don't know which one of you are going to do that, but I do know that all of you are going to partake of the cup that I'm about to take of. What was Jesus praying about in the Garden of Gethsemane? Lord, let this cup pass. What cup? He was fixing to be crucified and forsaken by God. And he said, nevertheless, thy will be done. So Andrew, and the historians say, the Fox's Book of Martyrs says Andrew was even crucified in what they would call an inverted X-looking cross. So it was like an X, upside down. Remember, Jesus said, they'll hate you more than they hated me. But he's a faithful witness, even to the end. And as we look about this, Andrew, Brother Ray, just an ordinary, everyday guy, just an average fisherman who simply chose to follow Jesus. Guess who preached? 3,000 got saved on the day of Pentecost. The one that Andrew had brought to Jesus. So it's kind of like a fruit tree, because Paul said that he wanted to have fruit that would remain to our account. So as I count back, John the Baptist found Andrew out there preaching in the wilderness like a wild man, wearing eating locusts and honey and wearing camel's clothing and leather. Just preaching up a storm. Andrew got involved with all that. Just a little gentle Andrew. Got to learn and got to understand. Then there was Jesus, and he accepted Christ as a Savior, was converted, and became. So Peter did all that he did, but yet it goes all the way back, not only to Andrew, but to John the Baptist. Kind of like our history around here, everything that goes on this year and after and on and on and on goes all the way back to Granny Ward. You think you're going to outgive God, dear friend? See, you may not see it in your lifetime. God may not even choose you to write Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. But God's writing in heaven. And he's recording. Every work of love and labor that you've done for him. Andrew wasn't worried about the applause and praise of man. He was worried about one thing. I have been changed by Jesus, and I want others to know this Jesus. I want them to know. So in this lesson, as we've studied out, looked at Andrew, if you don't take nothing else from this, just an ordinary guy doing great things for God, seemingly unnoticed. But here it is, 2017, and I'm preaching about it. Let me go back. I can't quit right now. And by the way, kids, I don't have no dum-dums. So tonight, go straight over there. I'll get some this week. I'm sorry. I am sorry. But this just came. I got to get this one out. We got to look at this. Real quick, look at Luke chapter number 9, I think it is. Not a lot of books written about him, not a lot of this, a lot of that. But Luke chapter number 9, verse number 10, I think. Yes, verse number 10. Not a lot of miracles told about him, but look what it says here. Luke 9:10, the Bible says, and the apostles, when they were returned, told him of all that they had done, and he took them and went aside privily in a desert place belonging to the city called Bethsaida, back in their little home region. And the people, when they knew it, followed him, and he received them and spake unto them of the kingdom of God, and healed them that they had need of healing. Go to Matthew 14 now, quickly. So they got to sit around, they get to hear about the kingdom, they see all this healing, Matthew chapter 14. Verse 16. And the disciples went forth and came to the city and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. And what I'm trying to say here is they were able to work for Jesus himself on earth. This is amazing that ordinary fishermen and Jesus used them. Jesus couldn't, he didn't need them, but he used them. And the same way he doesn't need us, he desires to use us so that we can do great and mighty things in his name and for him and through him. One other thing I wanted to show you. Let me see if I got that written down real quick. And we're done. I promise I'm going to send you home. Where is that verse? So he got to be used of him during his earthly ministry. Oh boy. But anyways, you can go look it up. I'll tell you about it. I don't remember right exactly. He calls them together and he says to them, all of you will reign with me over the tribes of Israel. Each one of them. Who knows that verse is? Y'all don't know. Man, let me find it. Don't go nowhere. Stay seated, please. Don't jump up and leave me. I want you to see this. This is important. God's a God of reward. What is it, Brother Josh? Isn't it good we got Bible scholars and Bible students and studiers of the Word of God can help me out? Luke 22. Luke 22 what? 30. There it is. That ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdoms and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Says little bitty Andrew, who nobody knew nothing about. One day he's going to sit on, he's going to rule over a tribe of Israel. It's amazing. Because he was found faithful. So Jesus used him in his earthly ministry as we know it. And when he comes back and rules and reigns the second time, he's going to rule over a whole tribe of the nation of Israel. You faithful in little, you also be faithful in much. That's the principle. Father, we love you.